Welcome back, folks, to episode, I have no idea what, 36? Maybe 36?
Your guess is as good as mine now.
Let's call it 36. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Episode 30-something of the Nintendo Wirecast. I am one of your hosts, Amiibo Jason, and with me as always is the amazing, the tank top sporting Hero TJ, who is currently still residing in Taiwan. How you doing?
Both facts very true. I am in Taiwan and I am in a tank top. We don't have our numbers straight, but we definitely have our location and our wardrobe straight.
Very true. It's been a whole week since I talked to you last.
Yes.
Last week, we got some information. I mean, obviously, we got new Amiibo, which was huge. And we got information that Min Min was coming to Smash.
Also this week, huge.
Yeah. Well, for you, I have not played it whatsoever. We'll talk about it, though, for sure. You've had some time to play Min Min, so I'm very, very curious to see your thoughts on this. I've purposely stayed away from most discussion around Min Min to wait for this podcast. I kind of want to be just blindly surprised by your opinion on how she plays.
Okay.
We also got word that Super Nintendo World is not opening this summer. No surprise there. It was supposed to be launching alongside the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, which of course was canceled due to COVID-19. But we did get official confirmation that Super Nintendo World is not opening and there is no new release date, which makes sense because we have no idea if a vaccine is going to be ready or what. So we're going to talk about that. We got some Pokemon news that was really hyped, like really, really hyped. And, really not delivering, at least for, I'd say, 95% of our viewing audience. But who knows? Maybe you guys absolutely love it, and we'll talk about that. And I think we have some Paper Mario reviews kind of starting to trickle in, too, for Origami King. So that might be interesting to touch on as well. Am I missing anything, TJ?
That was a pretty extensive laundry list. I think you just about covered it.
All right. Rock and roll. Before we get started, though, I'm curious how you've been. This is really the only time we have to catch up. So
yes, true.
I'm kind of curious how you've been doing in Taiwan. I see your photos shirtless and just rock hard abs, abs. Let's just say abs.
thanks, man. I'm able to put a lot of time and attention at the gym now. So that's, definitely something that I've always been passionate about fitness, and, I've just been able to really start dedicating the time and attention to it that I've always wanted to. So it's encouraging and exciting to be able to see results.
Well, it looks good. My wife loves those photos. My mother-in-law loves those photos. So take that as you will.
My mother-in-law teases me about it a little bit.
She loves them.
But she'll call out here. And just last night she called Natalie, and I kind of sneak into the picture and I'm flexing my muscles a little bit. And she's like, how come every time I call, you have no shirt on? I'm like, well, it is like 95 degrees out here.
Yeah. And you work for it, so you got to flaunt it. You got to flaunt it. Any new game-related stuff on your end? Are you playing anything? I mean, obviously, you're doing a lot of training.
I have been playing a lot less, but I have had somewhat renewed interest in Animal Crossing.
Okay.
I've been down on it a few of the last podcasts because I felt like it didn't really live up to my hopes for a long extended play.
Yeah.
However, with the announcements of some updates and the changing of the seasons, I thought, you know, sharks have always been the most fun thing to catch, and you can catch sharks in the game now. So I'm like,
pretty easily for the most part, too.
I have not once seen a fin.
Really?
So I don't know if maybe I'm doing something wrong. I know that there's a window that you have to catch them in, and I know that I'm within the window. I looked it all up on the internet to make sure that I'm not missing something. But for me, the spawn rate is so low that I haven't even seen one.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of the fun of it away. Part of the excitement of being able to catch cool stuff is for cool stuff to be available to catch. And I feel like the spawn rates are off, but for you, different experience?
I mean, not for me, for my daughter. So I more or less quit. And quit, I guess it's a difficult word. I didn't really quit. I'm just taking a break for the time being. There is an update coming out with diving, so I'm going to definitely jump in on that. Did we discuss the diving update?
No, because that came out, that was announced after we talked.
Man, that's another topic, isn't it?
I'm actually really excited about that, because that was one of the most exciting things to me about New Leaf. Something about it really expanded the world. It made it seem so much bigger. And New Horizons deliberately shrunk the world.
Yeah.
So they took it so that you are really kind of, even though you can do more, and even though your real estate feels like it might actually be bigger, you're on an island.
Yeah.
And there's something so isolating about that, that it does make it feel like you're kind of trapped. Whereas Tortimer's Island in New Leaf was a place that you would travel to. You would vacation to an island. Now you live on the island.
Yeah.
And by not allowing you to go into the water, it really felt like you were isolated even more. But now that you're on this island and you can go swimming beyond the borders, they've really expanded my perception of how big the game is.
Yeah.
And I really, really felt like that was missing.
Yeah, I'm in a weird place with these updates. These updates are coming out, and you may or may not know this, but the video that Nintendo put out was the number one trending video on YouTube for that day.
Wow.
Not in gaming, holistically.
Wow.
To give you an idea of the scope of Animal Crossing players, it's pretty massive. And people are obviously rightfully excited for this, and there's a character that's coming back, obviously. I can't remember his name, the little pink otter guy.
Yeah,
I'm kind of ashamed. I don't remember his name. I'll figure it out.
There are only some 500 villagers.
Yeah.
I think you can be forgiven here.
So, Nintendo is again, and rightfully so, and I think it's the right way to go. But it's annoying for longtime Animal Crossing fans who've had access to everything immediately.
Right.
They are spoon feeding us with a very small spoon updates that would have come in New Leaf to make the experience stronger or more lasting. And,
yeah,
and that makes sense.
I think that's it.
Because again, let's say they did have diving in the game right off the bat. I probably would be sick of it by now. And I probably would have quit where I am right now too and not jump back in. But the fact that they are feeding me diving now, coming up in a couple weeks or a week, it's forcing me to go back into the game and experience something new. So it's annoying to a certain degree, but at the same time too, I understand why they're doing it, because I feel like it's going to extend the enjoyment of its player base. And when those inevitable microtransactions come in, which they're coming.
No,
I can feel it.
I don't know. I actually think they won't. With the announcement.
Well, let's
of what
call
they
it
said
DLC.
Sure. Well, DLC's got to come.
Yeah, DLC's coming. I mean, this game, Nintendo would be absolutely insane to not do DLC.
Yeah, and as long as I'm fully in support of Nintendo DLC, I've never been disappointed by a single bit of it. Bring it on.
Yeah.
But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said they've removed features. I don't want to say removed features because that doesn't feel right. They left out features that Animal Crossing New Leaf players were accustomed to. So if, let's say, you could not go in the water at all in New Leaf, and then they just announced this,
yeah,
I would be like flipping. I'm like, that's amazing. How awesome. That's super incredible. But now I have the exact same reaction that you do. I'm like, yes, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I missed being able to do that. But it's not exciting. It's restoring something that I already once had, as opposed to expanding and giving me something new to be able to do. And that kind of makes it feel like they're drip feeding us content that should have and could have already been in the original game. But and for one of two reasons, either to elongate the experience or because they didn't have it prepared at the time of release and
yeah,
they needed a little bit more development time. Either one of those reasons are acceptable reasons. But because it was something that we already had, it feels like they're just giving us back something that they took away.
Yeah. And I feel exactly how you feel regarding that. But like I said, at the same time too, I understand. And I actually credit Nintendo for it. Because I think it's the right choice for this type of game. And in previous games, they did not have the infrastructure set up to do these constant updates. 3DS games, yes, did get patched. There was the Welcome Amiibo patch. But it's not as cut and dry as it is with the Switch, where it's like, it just does it when you're sleeping and you wake up and there's a new update for you.
Because Welcome Amiibo was basically treated like a whole nother game.
Yeah.
You had to download it as a separate installment.
So it's not an easy thing, and especially I think because so many people are playing online, the player base that's playing online in this game I think is ridiculous. When you have updates, they have to be consistent. So
yeah.
I totally get it. I'm excited to see what they're going to do next. I want to see the update that they're going to release that surprises me.
Me too. Like I'm in that exact same spot.
I want Brewster. Don't get me wrong. I want the Roost. I want Brewster. I want to take the orders of my town. Like, I will be back on Animal Crossing hardcore every day just to make coffee for all of my villagers every morning. I know it sounds dumb, but it was my favorite part of New Leaf. Favorite part. I'd go in there. I would just serve coffee. I'd have them all memorized. I'd have my cup of coffee. I'd invite my friends over and we'd just sip coffee on a bench and talk on the phone. So I'm excited for that. But again, we know it's coming. We know it's coming. Hopefully. It better be coming.
You know what I want? I want mini games. I want something like Nintendo Land, where you have like five or six little isolated experiences.
Yeah.
Like go dig up the fossils. Whoever finds the most fossils wins.
Oh man, bring back that mini game from Nintendo Land, that candy game.
Yeah, that was fun. Sweet Day.
Yeah, that game was great. Awesome.
I'm not sure how you implement that stuff in this game, but I definitely think that there are some isolated, semi-structured activities that you could do, and with their new multiplayer capacity, this game is just ripe for it. And just if that was what DLC Amiibo, was, that would be
Welcome
great.
Amiibo, the Amiibo Festival minigames back.
I never played any of them, but I did play the one that they put onto Welcome.
Yeah, Desert Amiibo. Island Escape.
Desert Island. And which is
that's the best game there is on there. The rest are very baby games. Like, it's not. My daughter was, I think, 3 when that game came out. And there's like, most of the mini games were perfectly suited for her.
Mm.
Like, she thought they were great, but she's 3.
Yeah.
So she thought everything was great.
Right. That's where I'm at, though. I've got a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and that's who I play with. So the mini games in Luigi's Mansion that I think are largely overlooked, I play those probably more than anything because my son really wants to. He loves Dodge Brawl. He loves trying to hit me in the face with the balls in Luigi's Mansion, and that's fun.
It's air hockey for us.
Air hockey's a big one too, although because I got a little too good at it, we play that less.
Got it.
But he's competitive with me, and I do my best. I'm not one of those nice dads who lets the kids win.
So I only play that game if Lauren and Eva are on a team against just me.
Yeah.
Same. And that way, I'm going to sound like such a jerk here. That way it's fair. So it's about 50-50 with who wins on that one. But if it's just me and my daughter, it's like I'm in the same boat where I have a competitive streak in me. And if I can win, I want to win. It's like with Mario Party. I might have told this story on the podcast at one point. But in Mario Party, it was Super Mario Party when it first came out. My daughter was winning. And it was the last turn. And I landed on the square where I could steal a star. And obviously, if I stole from her, I would win and she would lose, and that's how you're supposed to play the game.
Right.
And Lauren just looks at me and just goes, "Don't." Like, she's like, serious, like, "Don't do it." And I'm like, I have to do it. This is what the game is. She needs to learn. She can't just win. So of course I did it and she cried. And I felt like a terrible dad, but on the inside, man, I'm like, yeah, I won.
Bless Lauren. She's with it.
So
yeah, but in my defense, and I guess also in your defense, I think that there's some sort of real gratification in being able to pass the torch. Like once he can legitimately beat me, which he can already do in some games. There are some games where my kids are way better than me at. They would destroy me in Splatoon because they play it and I don't play it. I can't even handle the controls. So them knowing that they're legitimately better than me, I think has value.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm beating them just to beat them. I'm not making the game easier because they're kids.
Yeah.
And kids are good. And I'm not great at games. So it's not like I'm a professional coming down bullying a bunch of little kids. It's usually pretty close. But I do think that there's something to earning the victory.
I agree. I totally do. Before we move on to Min Min, I do want to just point out that my life the past week has been completely in Minecraft.
Wow.
So not for me. My daughter discovered it. Okay. And I introduced it to her because we were going for a walk and somebody had like this big Minecraft creature cardboard cutout like in their front lawn. She wanted to know what it was. I told her what it was. I said, I have the game. Do you want to try it? And I fully expected it because it's a complicated game. It is a very, it can be very, it's easy or as complicated as you want it to be. But the more you do, you build your first house, the more you do, the more you want to do. Like, you want a minecart, and then you want a roller coaster, and then you want a carousel or a Ferris wheel, and you want a farm, which I'm a Minecraft farmer with my daughter now.
Nice.
And this was the first time, I think, being a dad, where she completely blew my expectations away to the point where I was shocked with what she could do on her own in this game. So she's been playing now for about a week, and she's discovered redstone, and she knows how to use it, and that's how you power devices and machines in Minecraft. You can make fully functional 8-bit computers in Minecraft. Somebody made a Game Boy emulator in Minecraft using just the in-game tools.
Wow.
We're not at that level. I mean, we made a roller coaster that you could put a horse on and then have a horse ride a roller coaster. It's mindless fun, but what she's doing with that game is insane. I was always against, not against, I never understood kids playing this game, but what she's doing creatively is making me have a very newfound respect for Minecraft. She is not doing anything malicious. She's just building, and she's becoming a better and better builder. Buildings that look more like buildings, and she's adding different things to it. I think it's opening up a lot of kids to creativity. So I just wanted to point that out because I've been playing with her pretty religiously, and what she can build on her own, it's pretty darn impressive. So
wow.
I don't know if your kids have seen it or played it, but it's
they've seen their cousins play it, yeah. But because it completely bounced off me, I don't have it, and I've never really exposed them to it. They have expressed some passing interest, but I never indulged it. But you're making a pretty good case for it.
So we got it on the iPad, and it's totally touch control. And it's the full-fledged version on the iPad. So she's been playing touch control only. We discovered today we can hook up a PS4 controller to the iPad and then take the iPad and stream it to our TV. So we're playing like a console on her iPad.
Oh, interesting.
But kids just gravitate towards the touch stuff. I don't so much. But she's like, Dad, I want to use the touch. It makes more sense to me. So it's interesting just how kids nowadays are moving from what we're so used to, the controller, right, to a completely different kind of setup. But yeah, Minecraft, check it out. Like this is some new revelation.
You know, though, it is to me. It's a game that I just, for whatever reason, zero appeal.
Yeah.
Like, I respect that it's a big game. I respect that it's basically its own movement, but just zero appeal.
You are a very creative man, and I think if you helped your kids build something, you would find yourself, when your kids go to bed, you'd be taking Minecraft out, and you'd be making it bigger and better for them, and you would get enjoyment out of it. Just, I know you, and I know how your mind works, and the creativity in this game is just, I find myself, like, my daughter was not here this weekend, she was with her mom, and I spent, like, 3 hours just building something for her because it was fun. Like, it wasn't totally for her. I mean, I got a lot of enjoyment out of it, but it's a trip for sure.
But, you know, I'm not really a Lego guy. Yeah. I'm not really somebody who likes to, I'm not that big of an architecture fan. I don't really have a good plot for my island in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
And to me, it almost seems like Minecraft is Animal Crossing with zero tethers.
And that was a point I was going to make about New Horizons with terraforming. I think it's one of the reasons why that New Horizons is going to be around forever. Minecraft has been around forever. Granted, they've had a lot of updates, but for the most part, the game has been intact in the way it is right now for a very long time. And it is still the number one game in the world. Wow. And I think Nintendo is going to do their best to do the same thing with Animal Crossing. This is the longest intro I think we've ever done.
We haven't even made the intro.
I guess it's not even the intro anymore. It's just a topic we forgot to talk about. Yeah. All right, TJ, I got to hear about Min Min. I do. So Min Min's in Smash, officially.
Min Min is in Smash, officially.
I think around 8 o'clock CST last night, she was dropped. I did not buy Fighter Pass 2 yet.
That shocks me.
I'll get it eventually. I mean, I'm not playing Smash. Like, I'm just not playing it right now. I haven't touched it. And we've said it before. It's kind of a running joke on the show. I love Amiibo more than the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a collector. I'm a video game collector. I've discovered lately that I am much more of a retro gamer than I admitted before. Where I was playing all the new stuff because I felt an obligation to play the new stuff. Mm-hmm. When I would much rather be playing something else. My days right now my nights are dedicated when I'm not playing Minecraft with my daughter. I'm playing old Xbox games. I'm playing Conker Live and Reloaded right now, which is the remake of Conker's Bad Fur Day.
It's a blast. You know, it's so weird for me to think of that as retro. But I guess it would be now, wouldn't it?
That I'm considering more retro because it's technically a remake of a 64 game. But I'm at a point right now where, yeah, I mean, I get excited about upcoming games, for sure. But I needed to do a lot of soul searching for myself to say, what do I really want to do? Like, do I feel obligated to pick The Last of Us Part 2 up? Like, I want to get the game eventually, but do I want to clear my classic game backlog and then maybe, when I feel up to it, I'll play this very gritty, violent game. Do I need to play this right now, the minute it comes out? And I think that's where I am right now with Min Min and Smash. Previously, I felt obligated to play it because obviously I'm running a Nintendo site. By running, I'm very loosely running it now. Happily candied, my wife, she's doing the vast majority of the heavy lifting from the editorial side because I have a full-time job too. But that being said, I felt an obligation to play the game, and I felt the obligation to play it the second I could.
Right,
and,
to be informed,
like, constantly refresh,
involved in the conversation. Right,
and then I'm like, I'm like, why? I don't need to do everything the second I need to do it.
Right.
And I think maybe it's just me getting old.
I don't know if it's that. It's just you prioritizing your time.
I'm trying to de-stress. Like my job, like with COVID. Is fully here, 100% here. The desk I'm sitting at right now is the desk I sit at for 9.5 hours a day working at my other job. So do I want to spend another 3 hours sitting here doing something that I don't want to do? Like, and that's one of the reasons why the video content's been kind of scarce. Oh man, this is taking a weird turn. So it's one of the reasons why the video content's taking kind of a break. And I've been putting up videos as I see fit. But time is so precious.
Uh-huh.
And mental health is so precious. And yeah, I think I'm finally discovering a balance, just slightly. And that sort of ties back to where we are with Min Min and why I didn't download Min Min yet. So will I get Fighter Pass 2? Yes, I will. Will I get it right now? No, I won't. I'm going to live through you. TJ, tell me about Min Min.
Well, I have a ritual. Every single time one of these new fighters come out, and once the download goes through and I open up the game, it informs me that all these new Mii fighter costumes were released, and I will individually purchase each and every single one of them.
Does Fighter Pass not come with the costumes? They don't, right?
It does not. All the costumes are, I think, 75 cents a pop.
Wasn't there a pack on the Wii U that came with everything?
Yeah, I wish they did it that way, where you could buy all... If you're going to buy all the Mii Fighter costumes, they just bundle it so that I can
Would
just
you buy
make
a
one
blind
purchase.
Costume pack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Because I've bought so many costumes that I will never, ever use.
Yeah.
My reasoning behind it is 75 cents is a very small investment in a game that I have over 500 hours in. So I want to encourage them to continue to produce these because I want them. And the hope, at least from my side, is that if they see, hey, these Mii costumes are lucrative,
yeah,
people are picking these up, that they're going to keep supporting it. And then I'm going to get more stuff that I really do want. I have no idea who Vault Boy is. No idea.
You never heard of Vault Boy?
I've seen him.
Yeah.
And if somebody said, hey, who's this? I said, isn't he like that Fallout mascot?
That's exactly what he is. He's nothing more, nothing less.
But I never heard the term Vault Boy before.
Yeah. But a really cool costume. Did he come with a music pack?
He did not. Which is a little bit of a departure from the last couple.
Yeah.
Because Sans from Undertale did, and then also Cuphead came with one, which
what was
really cool.
Yeah, it was a...
Megalo. Yeah. Megalomania? Yeah, I don't know the name of it.
I just know that...
That's expertly
It's catchy.
Done. It's very catchy. It's a great song. And so I did... I downloaded all those... I got Min Min in the game, and I went straight to the spirit board to see what was on there. Because, as we discussed a little bit last time, Min Min does bring us into new territory.
But not unexpected.
Not unexpected
territory.
Because
we've talked about this.
I'm so thankful. I'm going to just repeat what I said last week. I'm so thankful that finally the silly fan rule has been put to bed. Because I don't know how people were like, hey, spirits can't also be fighters, except the fact that there's already 800 Wii Fit Trainer spirits, and there's already 800 Mario spirits and Link spirits. So I'm exaggerating. It's not 800, but there's easily a cool dozen. So since we already had fighters that were spirits, it seemed silly that a spirit could not be a fighter. And then the next bridge that people are still clinging to is that assist trophies can't be fighters. But I think that this also, in some roundabout kind of way, proved that assist trophies can be fighters.
And Waluigi's coming, we know it.
I think so, but...
He's going to be the last one. It's totally going to be the last one.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
There's no conceivable way... No, I'm not going to say it, because my track record is 100% wrong. I am officially... Post Bayonetta, I have been 100% wrong across the board. So I'm just going to shut up on anything Smash rumor.
I want Waluigi bad, but I think there are still a few circumstances in which he can't make it into the game. But I don't think that him being an assist trophy is in any way a preventative. He has like three spirits, I think.
I think he has the Mario Tennis Spirit.
Yep.
The Standard Spirit. And then I'm not sure what the third is.
Strikers. Mario
Was it Strikers? Nice.
He does have a Strikers one. I'm not as sure about the Tennis one.
Yeah.
But I actually think he has a Kart one. Like a Mario Kart one, the Super Strikers one, and then just a regular Waluigi one. But I'm not 100% on that. But he also has the Assist Trophy, which I think that by Sakurai saying... So why did I pick Min Min? Many of you thought it would probably be Spring Man. Well, I picked Min Min because she was the one who was requested by the producer of the game, which I take to mean if the producer of the game would have said, Spring Man, I want to be Spring Man.
Yeah,
he's my poster boy. It would have been Spring Man.
So and that brings the point that Sakurai has confirmed that he's not picking these characters. Does he have a say?
I think that was already said.
Probably. To a certain degree. But if this was a Sakurai decision, I could see him saying no to Waluigi
Yeah.
Just to give a middle finger to the people who have been harassing him for years.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, home-based Nintendo has control of this, I think they are much more in the pander to the audience camp than Sakurai is.
I'm not sure. Nintendo doesn't really strike me as the kind of company that cares what we think. They tell us what we think.
I feel like they are much more stock-oriented as of late.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I mean, theme parks, major motion pictures, more memorabilia. And, I mean, I can't walk into a Target or a Walmart and walk in any department and not see Nintendo merch. It's in the bathroom stuff. It's in the kids' stuff. It's in the toys, obviously. I mean, it's everywhere. SpaghettiOs, Super Mario cereal. I mean, granted, that stuff's been around for a bit. But Nintendo is, in my opinion, and I think they've been doing this for a while, they have been slowly trying to become the next Disney. Yeah. Like, the Disney for video games, and they're already the Disney of video games, I'll be honest. But
yeah,
with the theme park coming and the movie coming, I think Nintendo is gearing up to be, like, a major, major powerhouse as far as, like, investing. I bought Nintendo stock. I buy Nintendo stock once a month, and I'm just sitting on it. My hope is that Nintendo is going to help me retire one day. And if they keep doing this stuff, I think they might.
They definitely have an arsenal of incredible characters that they can leverage in all kinds of different, unexpected, exciting ways. But there's also very obvious ways to do it. And a lot of them, you said, like merchandise is,
yeah,
it's just, it's so obvious. But it's not exactly obvious where how they approach things with Smash. And that's why the Sakurai Presents are so great, because Sakurai gives a little bit of insight into why he does what he does, why he picks what he picks, and why Min Min's in the game. I think Min Min is great. She was my, if somebody would have said to me, hey, which arms rep do you think would be best for Smash? I'd say Min Min.
Yeah.
Because she's clearly a favorite amongst the fans. She has an awesome design. She's got super cool style.
Yeah.
And her fighting style really, I mean, I liked Ribbon Girl too, because I could see how she played into it well, but I like Min Min a lot better. And I'm really glad that that Sakurai broke down so extensively how she plays, because I think, as I told you before, I think you do need a little bit of an instruction manual for her, because she does play very differently than any other Smash character that I've played.
So are her arms slow?
No, they're not slow, but they are operated independently. So instead of having a standard attack and a special attack, one button controls her left arm and one button controls her right arm.
Got it.
But you can also kick, and the tilt has something to do with... Now, I should qualify this as saying I am not an expert Smash player. I can beat my extremely casual friends consistently. But if I go online, I get toasted by 12-year-olds. I am not good. And outside of, like, two or three characters, I'm not even remotely competitive. If I were a computer, I'd be probably, like, a level 3. So playing as Min Min took a little bit of adjusting, but it was very exciting, very fun. Her range is incredible. Being able to switch to the different arms is really interesting too. I didn't think I would like that, but yeah. I figured, I'm just going to stick with one and I'm not going to ever change it. But it is cool to change it, and you do get to a very different feel depending on which arm she's using.
Yeah.
And I haven't I only played her through classic mode. So what is that? Maybe 6 battles.
What's her boss?
But her boss is Gallium.
Ugh, lame.
No, it's great.
Is it?
It's really great. Yeah, her whole track is clever, and it's classic. It's like, okay, like the rest of them are. All of them have clever little associations with characters that are not necessarily the character, but are thematically following a certain pattern. And the spirit board is much the same. So I played through her classic mode, and she does have a cool fighter spirit that is, I'm not sure where the art comes from for the fighter spirit, because I've never seen it before, but it's great. It looks awesome. We already know that her key art from arms is already a spirit.
Yeah.
So she has a spirit board also. Interestingly, her spirit is not on the spirit board. But some of the other ones that were already in the game are, like Spring Man, Ribbon Girl, Twintel, and I think Ninjara already had one too. But there are a bunch of new spirits that are on there, like Master Mummy and Kid Cobra, Cobra Kid. I'm not sure which one it is.
I think it's Kid Cobra.
You also have Max Brass and what's the jiggly green guy's name?
I know who you're talking about. I'm spacing on it.
Jiggly green guy. I might have missed one in there. But it is fun, and they're cool little battles. I think she fits right in.
So, full disclosure, I watched most of the event, but I was working as it was airing. What is her final smash?
Her final smash is kind of like Mega Man's, where, you know, Mega Man summons a bunch of other Mega Men. She brings in all of her arms buddies, and they all come in and do like a flurry of punches. And
nice.
Then she finishes it with a Dragon Blast.
All right. That works for sure. I do have one other question. If you pick up a gun or a blaster, does she retract the arm, or does she actually like stick it way out?
You know, I don't know if I ever picked anything up. I don't think during her classic mode run, I ever had an opportunity to pick up an item.
I definitely want to see what happens with the items, with the arms. I think we discussed this at 1.2, how awkward it would be to pick things up. My guess is that they retract, and when she's holding an item, she's going to hold it to her chest. But I could be totally wrong. I think it would be an unfair advantage if she could have a massive, like, spray of, like, bullets, like, 10 feet in front of her. But maybe that would be detrimental. I guess I'd have to see.
I'm excited to find out now. I'm gonna go check that as soon as we're done here.
I will check back in with you on that one for sure. So I think we're at a weird place right now where we don't know what's coming next, and we have no event to look forward to. June is over, and I know there was a rumor of a Nintendo Direct coming in June that was debunked pretty quickly. There was rumors that this big Mario thing is going to be coming at some point this year. Mario All-Stars 2, they're calling it, like with all 3D Marios. And I'm guessing Nintendo's going to do something by the end of summer to at least announce the next character.
Nintendo did say something interesting where they said that their game release schedule for 2020 has not been in any way affected. However, the release of those titles could be affected if there's a second wave of the coronavirus, which I take to mean that either Nintendo had their 2020 plotted out well enough in advance so that they were disaffected, or they were able to streamline the workflow well enough to not be affected. And in either event, as it stands, we're going to get the 2020 that Nintendo intended to give us.
I don't know. Have you seen America's numbers? We're not handling Corona very well.
Yeah, I don't know what a second wave is, though, to them, because America's still in the throes of the first wave.
That's true.
So
we can't really have a second wave because we weren't well enough prepared to remove the first wave. So this is just first wave part two for us.
Yeah. But we know that Nintendo has a big announcement because they were planning an E3 presentation that never happened. So there is a whole bunch of Nintendo news that they're sitting on. We don't really know what their current release schedule for that information is going to be. So we may never get whatever that eventual E3 presentation plan was. But the games that were going to be announced are probably still just waiting for their release date, or Nintendo's hard at work trying to get them prepared in time for their release date. We know we have Mario and the Origami King coming out this month.
This month.
In a couple weeks.
Which will sell, in my opinion, humbly. I feel like it'll do well.
I think it'll do really well because it has zero competition as it stands for Nintendo fans who are ready for another game.
I think RPGs are a hard sell even if Mario's in it. Maybe that's just my personal opinion. But I know there's a lot of people excited for it, and myself included. I'm just fascinated with these games, just starting them all for the first time the past 2 months. So I'm excited for sure. I'm just curious if this would get them through the year. Like, there needs to be something else.
There's definitely something else. They got to have a holiday title. We don't really know what it is. People have been speculating that maybe they could have had Breath of the Wild 2 done by this holiday season. I think it would be an incredible title to be able to go into the holiday with.
It just doesn't seem feasible.
I'm not ambitious about that. I do think that they conceivably have had enough time.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have to build another game, and they've been working on it pretty much since they wrapped up on the original Legend of Zelda. So that's we're going on a few years now. Yeah.
I mean, when we look at other companies like Microsoft and PlayStation, their exclusives are cinematic. Like, we're talking expert voice casting, mocap, 4K development, like insane polygon stuff. Like, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people working on this stuff. Nintendo is in a good position for the most part, where most of their AAA games that they release don't require most of that. I think Breath of the Wild required a lot of development. But I think you're right, where a sequel, I don't see it taking anywhere near as long.
Sure. Because they're not building something from the ground up. I don't mean to be reductive. The way I'm saying it sounds reductive. It's a lot of work to create a game. They need to create a story. They need to create a scenario. They need to figure out how they're going to place checkpoints throughout the world, events, and interesting things for people to do so that they're having a fun experience. But as far as we can assume, they're not developing a new physics engine.
Yeah.
And that, to me, seems like the lion's share of the work of developing a game like Breath of the Wild. So if you already have that in place, then you can focus on things like telling a story and placing events and character development, all that other stuff, which would potentially mean less time.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what their workflow is on this. We can assume that there are going to be dungeons because of the hiring, the job postings that were released.
Which makes me very excited. Could
design, which makes me excited.
I missed those. Like, there was maybe 10 shrines in the entire game. The base game, not the DLC. The DLC had some pretty cool shrines too. But the base game had 10 shrines where I'm like, if they expanded on this, this would be one of the best dungeons I've had in a Zelda game.
Yeah.
But they were few and far between. It was like, I'd go down that elevator and I'd get really excited, and then I see just the feet of strength and I'm like, ah, come on.
Seriously? I'd be relieved every time I saw Fear's Train. I was like, oh, thank you.
No, I wanted, like, my brain to just burst. Like, I wanted, like, difficult puzzle solving. Love the fun physics engine about in Breath of the Wild.
Me too. It is so good. And I'm hoping for more of the same. I think the thing that would disappoint me the most about the game is if there was a dramatic change in the controls. Because I put so much time into the controls.
Yeah.
That I want something familiar, kind of like what Majora's Mask was to Ocarina of Time, where they did change it, and you did get new abilities, and they did introduce new mechanics, but when I was running around as Link, I still felt like I did in Ocarina of Time.
And I agree, I think that's what they're going to do. I think there's going to be a lot of new, what do they call those, runes? What were those abilities that you got? I can't even remember it.
Yeah, runes.
I think there's going to be more of that. So obviously we had the ice mechanic, we had the metallic, what was it, the magnesis?
Yeah, magnesis, cryonis, stasis. There was a fourth one. We could do amiibo. You could take
pictures.
The
time one. Was that stasis, the time one?
That's stasis, yeah.
Okay. The bomb.
The bomb, of course.
How did we forget the bomb?
Remote bombs.
There's definitely going to be more than probably one or two new ones. Obviously, there'll be additions to the mechanics of it, but I see it playing nearly the same. I still firmly believe Zelda's going to be playable, and I think that's going to be the biggest change, where she's going to control very differently. But I do think it's going to be, and I still hope this, I want you to be able to, on the fly, swap between the two characters to solve puzzles. Like, for most cases, you could just say, okay, Zelda, follow me. But you get to a certain room, you hit a button, you swap over to Zelda, she does something else. Or you can play co-op. Like,
what if it was like a Luigi Guigi situation where
it needs to be a little bit a little bit better defined than that for me. But similar, and I think that's...
Well, that was so amazing because they each had different abilities, and yeah. you had to lean on one or the other to solve certain puzzles, which made that such a satisfying co-op experience. Yeah. I did not play it solo much, but for the few minutes that I did, I was like, oh, how do you do this by yourself?
Yeah.
And it just basically put Luigi in like a trance stage, state. Couldn't spit that word out for some reason. And that... was way less cool than when there were two people and they were running
around. We never knew you could do it co-op. So I was playing with my daughter and we would just swap the controller back and forth.
Oh man, you missed out.
It was about 70% of the way through the game that we realized that we could both just play. And it just completely opened up the game in very different ways.
Totally.
She just liked trolling me for the most part though. Which
made, hitting you in the face with the plunger nonstop.
Yeah, made playing the game a bit more difficult, but definitely still enjoyable. But yeah, I could see those types of mechanics in the game, and I sincerely hope that's the case. I've wanted to have a playable Zelda in a mainline Zelda game for a very long time. And I know we've had Hyrule Warriors, we've had the absolutely amazing Zelda The Wand of Gamelon.
Oh yeah, that one's good.
The and CDI also, classic.
Yeah, don't forget The Adventures of Zelda.
Adventures of Zelda, called. Link, the Faces of Evil. I think Zelda was in that game, but not playable. But yeah, I mean, I think that would be really interesting to see. And then we see them riding on something very strange. It kind of looked like a... I don't even know what it was. It kind of looked like a mammoth?
Some kind of beast of burden. I'm not exactly sure what the creature is, but I wonder if that is just for the cutscene or if it's going to somehow be involved in gameplay.
Because it looks like they rode it there. Right? Like, they wrote it on whatever adventure they were going to. Maybe you use that to, like, tear down walls or something. Like, it helps you, like, pull down rubble or something. I'd like to see mechanics like that, too. I mean, it was fun riding horses and bears and woodland gods. I mean, that was fun.
Yeah, so surprising. All the different things that you could mount and ride around.
Give me some crazy beasts.
Yeah. I hope that the game delivers on the promise of the ending of the last game where Zelda's like, hey, you know what? Now that we got this Ganon thing sorted out, we've got some problems over in Zora's Domain. Let's go check those out. And I was like, yeah, okay, this adventure's continuing.
Yeah.
And that's where the game ends. But knowing that this game is going to take place in the same world, expanding on what we've already done, I want to see what that is. I want to see what a post-Ganon world is like. And I'm so pumped for that.
I hope. I'm really curious on what Ganondorf is going to look like in this universe.
Yeah.
They're very heavily implying Ganondorf is being resurrected.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see. Ocarina of Time Ganondorf is my favorite representation of him. Wind Waker is close second. But I think maybe I'm just biased with Ocarina of Time because that's what I grew up with.
For me, the best is Hyrule Warriors.
Really?
And it's because I think we get a little bit deeper insight into Ganondorf than we do in any of the other games, since usually you only encounter him when you're going to fight him.
Yeah.
But in this game, like you play like two-thirds through the game, and you pretty much complete whatever Link and Zelda's adventure is, and then all of a sudden you take on the mantle of Ganondorf.
Yeah.
And he's the hero of his own story. So even though what he's doing is evil and horrible, you need to do it. And something about him having been abandoned by his armies and betrayed by his lieutenants and having to prove himself as the king of evil and go on and win back the respect and win back... It was really such an interesting change of perspective for me.
You and Zelda. Had some sympathy for Ganondorf, huh?
And I wouldn't say sympathy, but it felt awesome to be like the king. Like,
he was fun to play as.
This wicked powerhouse. And I think it would be amazing if maybe in Breath of the Wild, and I have no ambition that this is going to be the case, but I think that the only way it would be more exciting than being able to play as Link and Zelda would be if they let you play each pillar of the Triforce. So you could play as Link, Zelda, and Ganon, and maybe their adventures were not always in alignment, but being able to affect the world.
Yeah.
Everything that Link did affected the world. And that was really one of the fun things about Breath of the Wild was how much the world affected him and how much he affected it. And so being able to do that through the perspective of each Triforce bearer, I just think would be a game that I've been waiting for since I was 10.
That's ambitious. You might be flying too close to the sun, though, man.
You're right. You're right. My wings are going to melt and I'm going to faceplant. But
I love the idea. I do. I'm trying to think of the best way that, I mean, a flashback maybe? I don't know how you would do it.
Well, it sounds like Ganon is kind of in a similar situation to what he was in for Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
Where he's, what, all his power's gone. He lost his army. He presumably even like lost his self to the malice. Like he gave up even his own sanity. So what state does that put him in? Is he a dried husk? Maybe he doesn't even have any memory of his past life. Maybe he doesn't even know he's the king of evil. Maybe he hasn't had a chance to become a bad guy yet.
I don't know. That skeleton was pretty evil looking.
Well, of course, because he used to be evil. And then we don't know what happened to him. Now he's revived. Maybe it's something like the goddess Hylia, where she's needs to be reincarnated every generation. So Ganon can't ever truly die. I don't know. But it definitely gets the mind running wild.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long we have to wait. But I am doubting that maybe it's our holiday title.
I'm hoping at least for a tease. Just give me a tease.
I want a progress report. I want to know like where they're at with this, if they have a speculative release window. I would rather Nintendo be mum's the word on the release window if they don't know, because Breath of the Wild, they just kept stringing us along for years on that. I don't want that to happen. I don't think they want that either, because that's still fresh in everybody's mind. So I'm pretty sure that when we hear when it's going to be released, that's probably going to be when it's released. But I did hear some chatter about there being a Mario Kart 9 as the holiday title. Did you hear anything about that?
I have not heard that rumor, which is shocking. And I think you and I discussed this at some point, too. Mario Kart 9 would need to be so radically different to take up the mantle of 8 Deluxe, in my opinion. It would have like full-on either A, like a double dash type change where the mechanics of the game are so different, or B,
that'd be sweet.
They just do what we all wanted them to do from the first place and introduce Nintendo characters.
Yeah.
Unless they have that, I don't know what they could do to give you a better racing experience in comparison to what we already have with 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
8 Deluxe is already built on pretty much what the hardware can handle for the Switch now. So it's not like a typical game where it goes from like GameCube to Wii, where Wii at least had motion controls to differentiate it. But it wasn't like this generational leap. So I feel like if they did release 9, there's got to be something massive.
Yeah. And I think that you touched on it. Like with Animal Crossing and Luigi's Mansion and some of the more recent releases that they've had, giving you an opportunity to play in a very convenient co-op style. They've started to try to get creative with that.
Yeah.
I want that with this, where you just put another person in the back of the car and you could have two people on a single screen playing together. Of drastically different skill levels. So maybe you have somebody who's a precision racer and you have somebody who is a precision item operator. It seems like such a good fit for how the Switch is built that going back to that, I think we're ready for it. And that would be so different than Mario Kart 8 that you wouldn't confuse the two. And it would justify the existence of both. But introducing all of those other Nintendo characters, like giving Captain a Falcon behind the wheel again, the man deserves it.
They've been toying with us with this idea since the Wii U. I mean, we have Animal Crossing, we have Link, we have two major franchises. We have the biggest franchise in Nintendo's arsenal right now, Animal Crossing in the game. So just open
it up. But what's weird is they put in two characters that don't race. Like, Link is not a racer.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing, you can't even get in a vehicle, but they have all these people who do race or have their own racing games.
Yeah.
Kirby. Diddy Kong has his own racing game. He has been in previous Mario Karts.
Yeah. He was in DS,
He can't even be in. He was in Double Dash 2, and they don't even let him be in Mario Kart 8.
Got Fox McCloud.
So we got Fox McCloud. We got Kirby. We got Samus. We got Captain Falcon. So these guys are just so obvious.
Just call it Super Smash Kart. Like,
oh, man. Wouldn't that be amazing if the a Smash franchise expanded beyond just a fighting game?
I don't know if Nintendo would want to retire the Mario Kart name. And I don't think they would have to. I think that the two
identities could be separate. They just call it Mario Kart and Friends. Yeah, just Mario Kart and Friends or Mario Kart and Company.
Or just make it like the same mechanics, but just make the items like absolutely insane. Like
Mario Kart Incorporated.
Yeah, something like that. Mario Kart
and Friends. Yeah, Mario Kart Incorporated is perfect.
I like that.
I just named it. I just named it for all of you guys.
But who knows? I mean, I'm still in a weird place because 8 Deluxe is still constantly selling so well. And it's like, why compete with something you have to do no work on?
I totally agree. Like that's the biggest struggle. And I guess this shoehorns a little bit in with Mario Kart Tour, where I'm not sure exactly where it was, but Nintendo kind of seems to be stepping away from the mobile games now.
Yeah, I saw it because of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, it's kind of hurting their brand more than they think it's helping, and they initially got into it because they felt the pressure from investors at a time when the Wii U wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality of the Switch right now. The Switch is doing extremely well, so they don't really need the mobile market. And it looks like while their mobile market was like making money hand over fist for a while, it's kind of gone a little bit sour. Yeah. I personally want them to move away from it myself.
I think there is ways to make it work. And I mean, I've never been a fan of the microtransaction approach for the most part. Companion apps I'm fine with. If Animal Crossing Pocket Camp was a way that I could take my Animal Crossing Town villagers on my phone, like from my game, like from the Switch, the same town, the same people, the same memories, like they know who I am, I know who they are.
Yeah.
And it's literally just that, like they can go to camp in my pocket. I'd be fine with that.
That would be super cool. We're at a place
right now where you now have to operate two fully functional cities that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
And I can imagine why would people want to do that. So I think with the Switch doing so well, it just makes more sense to move into a companion type place with mobile. Yeah. Just embrace mobile in that capacity.
That would be awesome. Companion apps, I think, are definitely the way to go. They've played with that a little bit with Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So you have Smash World, where you can do a whole bunch of interesting, cool little things. I don't really spend too much time playing in it, but you can make spirit teams on your phone, and then when you go back to the game, the spirit teams are there, which is kind of awesome. You could do things with videos that I haven't done yet, but there are a lot of people out there making really cool content just based on their Smash videos, and they're putting it on the phone. So it's definitely something that Nintendo has. They're paying attention to it.
It's weird because it felt like that's the way they were moving. But I completely understand with the gangbuster sales of Animal Crossing New Horizons that they are shifting their focus. So good for them. I'm happy they're reading the market, and that means less shovelware for us.
Yeah, but the Pokemon Company, not in the same place. They seem to be like doubling down on the apps.
Yeah, and that's phone. Something I know we touched on earlier in the episode where they hyped this announcement. People were like doing this like conspiracy theory type analysis of the background of the last video. And they're like, what could be announced? What is this new announcement from the Pokemon Company? If you don't know, which I'm sure you do at this point, they essentially said after they announced the Pokemon Snap, or the new Pokemon Snap and all the other Pokemon announcements, they said a week from today, we have another announcement. You know, stay tuned for that. It's something brand new.
And we were speculating it was going to be another Let's Go
game. Which I felt like makes the most sense.
Yeah, which would have been awesome.
Like, go the every other year approach. Like, mainline, Let's Go. Mainline, Let's Go. But no, it wasn't that. It was a mobile game in the, I guess, the Dota or League of Legends type of play style. So it's like a squad-based Pokemon fighter with no type advantages. And I just feel like what they did was take a very successful free-to-play model, throw Pokemon sprites in it, and call it a day. And
that's
again, I
totally
understand
what it looks like to me too.
They want to make money. Yeah. I get it. But bare minimum type advantages. Like
bare minimum.
I'll let it slide for Pokken Tournament. Like Pokken Tournament type advantages doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm offended by it even in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Like it's the core conceit of Pokemon. You like removed the entire mechanic.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing with Fire Emblem. So I understand it's hard to implement that in a game that where other characters don't adhere to that.
Yeah. But this
but
is a strategy game.
It does kind of bother me.
It's a strategy game. Like that's a piece of strategy. Like if you have to go up against a squad of fire dwellers, then put a water team together. I mean, it's simple.
Yeah. But, or it would at least make you have to balance your team.
Yeah.
So that you couldn't get just put in a ton of fire heavies.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be able to survive if you go against somebody who's got some powerful water.
Yeah. Like I do not care that it's free. I will not download
it. I do not
it.
Care that it exists.
Yeah.
But
I was watching
I wasn't
people
their,
play it.
I wasn't their audience for that.
Yeah. I was watching the squad of people they had play it, and it just made me cringe like the entire time. I'm like, I don't know who this is made for. And I hope whoever it's made for, they enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm not down on it at all. It's just not for me. I could see it being a really popular, really successful game. I know that those kinds of games are really big in China. So and that's where mobile is king.
Yeah.
Maybe that market alone justifies the existence of this game.
Then don't hype it up.
I think that was probably the biggest problem. But, not necessarily that the game wasn't what we expected, but because they kind of built it up to be something where this mark your calendars because something is coming. They didn't tell us anything about it, so people's imaginations ran wild. What I really think they should have done is we have a new mobile experience that relates to Pokemon. We want to tell it to you in more detail in a dedicated video, so check back in for that.
That makes
then
sense.
Then all of a sudden, people's expectations are in check, and they're like, okay, a new mobile app. What could this be? This is new territory for Pokemon. And then when we see it, we're like, okay, all right, we get it. We see what he meant. He delivered on exactly what he said. But because they left it so open, people just went.
I have no idea what they expected from it. I mean, I feel like they should have had a better understanding. If you don't know how the internet works at this point, you shouldn't be running a company. Like, again, the Pokemon Company owes me nothing. They've given me nothing but joy my entire life. I love Pokemon. I love that I can share it with my family. I play Pokemon Go daily. And again, for anybody enjoying this new IP, good for you. I hope it's amazing. I just hope from now on they think about how they make their announcements. And I think exactly what you brought up makes the most sense. Say, we have a new mobile experience coming up. So maybe you should work for the Pokemon Company on their announcements.
Hard pass.
Before we go, real quick, I do want to just touch on one other really quick subject. There's not going to be a lot to talk on it. And that is the delay of Super Nintendo World. So Super Nintendo World was supposed to be opening up in summer 2020, so right now, during the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games, which we now know has been postponed due to COVID-19. We kind of assumed that meant that Super Nintendo World was not going to be opening. But I think there was some glimmers of hope because theme parks are starting to open up even in the U.S., which is absolutely insane in my opinion. But they're still opening it up. But in places like Japan, where people are much less pig-headed about their public safety, I could understand maybe they're in a capacity where they could possibly do this. But we did finally get confirmation this week that Super Nintendo World is going to be delayed for their launch, even though it looks like it's pretty much ready to go at this point. And there is no new release date which I think is the right decision. Why open to a scared public?
Yep.
And it would just, in my opinion, it would be a PR disaster for Nintendo to open up something so public. Again, not a lot to really mention on this. I think it's just common sense that it's not opening. But if it was something you were looking forward to, unfortunately, you have to wait a little bit longer. I still hope to go when it opens. I really do. It's going to be a bit more complicated with a little wee baby. But we'll make it work. TJ, I'll meet up with you.
I'm a two-hour flight away from Japan. It was definitely in the plans for my family to go to Japan this year. We're planning on going in October.
Nice.
But obviously that is not in the cards anymore.
Yeah.
But we're going to be paying attention. And when it makes sense and when it's open and when it's safe, then we're going to try to get over there and experience Super Nintendo World.
I agree. All right, TJ, where can we find you?
Check me out on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel if you want to see some vintage content, because those of you guys who follow me know I have not really been too active in producing new videos. But there are some gems out there, so if you're not up to date, check it out. And then if you want to keep up with me on Twitter, you can follow me at Custom Conquest.
All right, and if you're looking for me, you can find my personal Twitter account at AmiiboJason, where recently I've been having a Twitter war with the company Etsy, which, if you're curious about, you can see my Etsy problems I've been having.
Oh, I missed that. I cannot wait to go and get up to speed.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Oh, man.
It's a disaster. Long story short, my account got hijacked about 2 weeks ago. Whoever stole it, they made a fake shop, and they're obviously scammers, but what they did not do was they forgot to change the payment information. So anytime they'd sell one of their very expensive items, which they don't really have, the money went to me. And I've been having to work with PayPal to instantly have these people refunded. And Etsy does not care at all. Like, they're like, eh.
What?
Like, they have no support. Like, they have absolutely zero customer support.
But do you have the ability at this point to suspend your
I beg them to do it. I'm like, please turn it off. Can't do it. Please disable my PayPal account from it. Can't do it.
What? Do you not have access to your?
No, whoever. So somebody must have got my information from a data mine at some point, because my Etsy account's like 12 years old. So that being said, what they did is they changed my email address and then they changed my password. So my email address is no longer linked to it.
So you can't access anything?
Nothing. So what they did was they created a shop called the JG Dog Shop. And they took a profile picture for the shop. I guess they wanted it to be like a businessman, but they found a picture of George Lopez wearing a suit. And that's the shop. It's George Lopez wearing a suit. And they sell very expensive mirrors and swimming pools. No item below $600 on this shop.
And people are buying these things?
Somebody bought a swimming pool. Somebody bought a hot tub. And the money comes to me for these items, right? And I'm like, well, this isn't good. So I call PayPal. I'm like, I need you to refund these people immediately. And I'm like, I need you to make sure it's not some sort of scam, or if I refund them, that it's going to be like I have to double refund them. So PayPal took care of it. Thank God PayPal took care of it. But I've had to email these people saying, I'm sorry you got scammed. And they're genuinely upset. They're like, oh, man, this was such a good deal on this hot tub. Well, what are you going to do? So if you want to catch up on my Etsy Twitter feud, you can. And by Twitter feud, it's me screaming into the void because they don't have support. They have an Etsy Twitter support. It's called Etsy Support on Twitter, but they have a disclaimer that says this account is not monitored. Why do
this
you have
Etsy
it?
Support does not support you.
So if you want to see an old man yelling at Cloud, go ahead and find that Twitter feud. Otherwise, you can find me on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel as well, where content isn't coming out as much as it was, but I'm doing about 2 to 3 videos a week. A lot of it isn't necessarily like me personally doing a video, but it's like put up trailers and stuff. More content is coming. I have stuff I'm in the process of working on. So stay tuned for that. And besides that, obviously, NintendoWire.com. If you want up-to-the-minute Nintendo news created by some of the best people in the business, including my beautiful pregnant wife, and some amazing other people, check out NintendoWire.com. TJ, any other closing thoughts?
If you like the show, leave us a review.
Which people do, apparently. I think we mentioned this last week. I know we're desperately trying to close the show out, but a couple people reached out to us on Twitter, and I think that gave us a little bit of hope that we're not shouting into the void. People are watching it and or listening to it, excuse me, and makes me pretty happy. So I'm hoping if you guys do enjoy this, continue to let us know. It really filled me with determination.
Same.
All right, rock and roll. Till next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.